Hello, gentlemen. Today I have a book review for you guys, a sponsored book review. The book is called Rise of Men, and the author's pen name is Manhood Shitty Shit. Don't ask me why he picked that name. I don't understand. I don't know, but you can ask him. But don't let the pen name throw you off, because this is actually a very good MGTOW book. And you are going to get your money's worth. I read the digital version, and that was 387 pages. So this is definitely a substantial read that will last you a long time. And I also think it's important to support MGTOW literature. There's not a lot of it, and we have to continue supporting it to grow the base of literature, because there's plenty of pickup artist literature out there, but not as much MGTOW and self-actualization literature. So what I'm going to do for this book review is I'm going to read some samples of my favorite passages, talk about it a little bit, and hopefully that'll give you some insight into this book. So the first chapter is about male disposability, and I'm going to take a quote from the book here. Male disposability has been hammered into men's psyches since early childhood with unceasing conditioning. Without a hardcore education, no man would be willing to sacrifice himself. In fact, male disposability as we know it exists only in humans. You won't see this behavior exhibited in other species. There is a sex drive disposability in animal species, but it is entirely different from what men experience. Today, nothing has changed. Men are as disposable as ever. Women and children first is still the norm. If there's a burning building with a man and a woman inside and we can only save one, odds are better than good that the woman will be saved every single time. The same thing happens when you rescue hostages. The police deal with the criminals to free women and children, while the men stay to endure the mercy of their captors. Or if a boat sinks, we will give the seats on the rescue boat to the women, while men are left to die. If a man does not willingly give up his place to a woman, then he is viewed as evil. So the first chapter kind of opens up with a lot of what we are familiar with, at least those who have been in the community for a while. But it is relatively new to newcomers. They don't understand the brainwashing, the conditioning that they've been subjected to that gets them into that sacrificial mindset. So he does a good job of outlining that in the beginning. Later on in that same chapter, it reads, there are also the oppressive laws that financially alienate men against their will to a woman via child support and alimony. The reality is that a woman could inseminate herself with your semen, which is inside the condom you put in the trash, get pregnant, and sue you for child support. I wish I was making this up, but I'm not. It has happened to multiple men in the U.S. For every case that went to the family court, we saw another man forced to pay child support. There are even blogs and articles on the internet with titles like Sperm Jackers, The Five Types, that teach men which type of woman are most likely to steal their sperm. This state of affairs reduces men to a mere utility. We are disposable tools. Male disposability thrives on the central idea that male suffering does not matter, that it is best if it is ignored. We are conditioned not to care, so we simply look the other way. So, a good intro for this book, a very strong intro. It starts off more suited for newcomers. I do like how the author uses a lot of studies, and he cites his sources, and he also gets into the nitty-gritty of the differences between genders. In chapter 4, he talks about those differences, and one section is called physical strength. Fact number 1, men tend to be larger and taller than women by 8% on average. This is called sexual dimorphism. Men's muscles tend to possess a higher percentage of fast-twitch muscle fibers, which are responsible for explosive bursts of strength. High-twitch fibers are determined by genetics and can vary wildly even between individuals. For example, imagine two men who are training for the 100-meter dash. They both exercise 3 days a week for 2 months, and they put in the same amount of effort. The first participant is predominantly slow-twitch, his muscle fibers, while the other is predominantly fast-twitch, which is to say that their muscle fibers composition varies considerably. For your general knowledge, slow twitch muscle fibers are better suited for endurance exercises, while fast twitch muscle fibers are excellent for short, intense bursts of energy. In this scenario, the man who is predominantly slow twitch can improve and challenge himself, but he will never be able to win against the challenger who is predominantly fast twitch in the 100 meter dash. On the other end of the equation, the man with a higher percentage of slow twitch muscle fibers will always beat his opponent in endurance exercises, like in a marathon, for example. Of course, this scenario takes into account that both participants have the same amount of training, are in equal health, and are of the same age. The results could vary otherwise. On average, men have a higher percentage of fast twitch muscle fibers compared to women, and because of that fact, they can perform explosive bursts of strength that are comparably higher than women. Does it mean that the ladies are better at sports that require a lot of endurance? Well, the answer is no. For the same age and height, men tend to have greater lung capacity than women, and our heart possesses larger arteries, an average of 1.5 millimeters for women versus 2.5 millimeters for men. This means that we have more blood flowing to our muscles and more oxygen mixed with that blood when needed, which leads to better performance in endurance sports. So he continues on talking about the specific differences. So he cites statistics for, you know, rape allegations, divorce rates. He uses scientific research to illustrate the genetic differences. This is a well-researched book. So what he's doing basically is presenting the facts to back up everything he talks about from divorces, from genetic differences, and just basically presents the case that egalitarianism is bullshit, and, you know, the book is the reason why. So if you're looking for something that outlines the material in a very specific way, I think this is a great resource. If you're a fan of videos like Coltane or TFM videos, which has like data, this is an excellent resource to add on to that. Skipping ahead to chapter 13, relationships and the role of provider. This chapter was written with the premise that male authority is the best choice to nurture healthy relationships and maintain cohesive communities. But since that doesn't exist in today's society, the following will be describing an alternative that I think is worth exploring. I also must repeat that I do not advocate entering into a relationship with a woman in our modern feminist society, but the choice is, of course, yours to make. In order for a relationship to be functional, a man who can provide and protect and a woman who is fertile are all that is needed. Conflict may arise, injustice may take a toll on the relationship, and dreams may be forgotten, yet it will still be functional. To create a more balanced dynamic, a lot of variables will come into play. The first thing you need is confidence, confidence in yourself, faith in your capabilities, and faith in your beliefs. To attract a partner, a man needs to be proactive. If you wait for a woman to come to you, the chances are that you will be alone forever. In every species on this planet, females signal their availability and fertility, and males seek out mating opportunities. Humans are no different. The only exceptions to this rule are hermaphrodite creatures like the snails and some species of fish like the seahorse. Males receive the eggs and incubate them in their ventral pouch until birth. Since males are the one who incubates and give birth, females typically do most of the wooing and pursuing. So he goes on to outline some basic PUA stuff, you know, hold frame, maintain eye contact, approach, cold approaches, stuff like that. I didn't see anything too complex here, but overall I enjoyed this interpretation of finding relationships after going MGTOW and interacting with women. Because again, I'm not completely monk mode. I alternate between monk mode and being the bachelor. Sometimes I enjoy having that bachelor lifestyle, and sometimes I just need to focus on myself and get hyper productive, and I go monk mode. So it's good to know how to switch back and forth if you do want that. So it does have that there. Overall, I think this book has just about everything that you could ask for in a general introduction text. So if MGTOW was a course in college, MGTOW 101, not the channel, you know, but if the MGTOW 101 was a course, then this would be the textbook that would be assigned. From the MGTOW books I've read, this is the best introduction book. So if you're new to MGTOW, I recommend picking this up. If you've already been in the community, I would recommend you get this because it has all of the data condensed into one format. So instead of looking around for 10, 15 different videos, especially now that MGTOW is banned off the internet, the subreddits quarantine, channels get deleted, they get buried, you're going to have to find all those resources again. If you don't have them all saved already, this is a great source. So check out the book. The links are in the description. It's an excellent read. And I'll see you guys in the next video.